Welcome to A Service Journey with Rocky DiStefano. The foundation of the program is everyone is leading something or someone, and this is going to be a very special program. This is A Service Journey.
Yes, good morning, everybody, and thank you, or good afternoon, or wherever, or
good
whatever
evening,
time.
You're
yes.
Around the world.
We are so happy that you're here joining us today, and we want to introduce Gabby or Gary.
Yes, I'm here. Yes. Still kicking.
Yeah, she was up late last night, so we're trying to perk her up, I think.
You didn't bring her a cup of coffee.
I don't think she likes coffee. Really? Or you like coffee, but it bothers you.
Yeah, actually, I've been drinking decaf coffee. Yeah.
Oh, that's really
I'm
helpful.
75.
Gabby chased a rabbit, went down the rabbit hole last night and did a lot of research on a topic that kept her up late, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyways, and then even more importantly, we have a dual episode today, and I'm so pleased to introduce Blake Bosworth. Is that correct?
Bozarth, very close.
Bozarth.
It was a valiant effort.
It wasn't, and I appreciate you lying. I tend to say the same thing when people destroy my name, but Bozarth.
Bozarth.
We learned a lot about him last
week. You know,
my
mom does that too, where she'll just, like, you'll read a name one way in your head, and then that's just the name forever.
Yeah.
They're stuck.
Like, I guarantee you're probably going to struggle with his last name.
No, I will not. I will not struggle. I will not.
She'll like refuse to, even though she'll be corrected, she's just like, no, this is what I decided it is.
Well, we're very excited to have Blake. I didn't mess that up.
That's the safest way.
Yeah. And, you know, this is, of course, second episode. And, we have a dual, right? So there's A Server's Journey and a Leadership on Purpose, which is an amazing podcast that I've been listening to now for a while. And so, Blake, I'm going to have you bring us into the topic of today's show, which we kind of plugged already last episode.
Awesome. Yes. Well, great to be involved with you guys. I've been a huge fan of A Server's Journey and love every time I'm with Rocky, I'm learning something new. And love the mutual passion for leadership. So excited for this. So we teed it up last week, but just for a quick reintro on what this topic is about, it's a mantra. It's a framework. It's a mantra that applies really to all facets of life and leadership. And that is think macro, invest micro. And so we're going to break down today what exactly that means from the concept. We're going to focus on thinking macro today.
Is that T-M-I-M?
T-M-I-M, Larry. Well, you got it.
Yeah, that's what we typed it as, at least. What, Blake, I don't know if you shared this already with me, but talk about like how you found this concept.
Yeah. So it really struck me because I am the kind of person that naturally loves to think big, to have big goals for the impact that I want to have, for the things I want to do personally, and the impact I want to have in the world, right? So the think macro part kind of came naturally, and it was actually a personal, so the personal story behind it for me was I was living in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I went to college there and ended up taking a job out of college there, and it became my community. Loved it so much, and Chattanooga is a beautiful place, but what I realized was that, and this is the case in a lot of cities, but in Chattanooga is even more stark, a stark divide between the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah.
Literally by, you know, the railroad tracks, even like that. Yeah. It was a real thing in Chattanooga. And I was like, hey, there's so much that I want to do to try to bring change in this city. And I really don't know where to start.
Yeah.
And then it struck me. It's like, you know, like I'm wired to think like, okay, what's the big initiative that we can do? Whether that's political or some kind of big sort of nonprofit that you start up. And it struck me that, to be honest, it starts with investing in an individual human. I wanted to see others have better opportunities, and it started with investing in an individual relationship, right? A one-on-one relationship. And so I got plugged into Big Brother, Big Sister, and I got to start mentoring an 8-year-old that was in an inner city school. And I would come down the mountain. I was a junior at Covenant College, would come down the mountain and spend lunchtime with him. And it was such a micro thing, right? It started so small. We would spend, you know, an hour or an hour and a half together every week. And it just grew. And it basically illustrated this concept for me that if you have a big goal for the change you want to see in the world, it starts with doing the small things, picking something micro that you can actually affect.
Right.
And this, I could go on and on about the impact of mentoring, but the change that it was having in my own life. So it changed the world for me, which is amazing. And it also helped change the world for my little. So he was 8 years old. He's now 20 years old.
Wow.
Has a kid of his own. His family is a part of my family. And it's amazing the relationship that's happened there and that's formed there. And it was just an illustration of, hey, when you have big dreams, if you invest small, that's really the way we can change the world. And if enough of us are doing it that way, that produces the macro change that we want to see.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, you mentioned you thought naturally you tend toward macro, which I agree, because I tended to be that way too. If you were to look at, you know, go in the way, way back machine, you know, and look at the younger Rocky, I opened my first restaurant when I was 26, had no idea what I was doing, but my entire, like how I thought was macro, big. Yeah. I had no idea. I had no idea how to invest micro. And so it took me almost 8 to 10 years to figure out that part of it, which I think in some ways is maybe the more important part, only because without the little steps, without the mentoring, you would never have changed this young man's life. You know, sure, the idea is wonderful. I want to change lives, you know, but how do you do that? So, we're going to have a two-part series, and you guys already met us a little bit more in our first episode, but we're going to drop two shows, one Think Macro and the other one Invest Micro, and that is going to be on Blake's show, Leadership on Purpose. So what we're hoping is that you come to A Service Journey, check out this one, and then go to Blake's, check out Blake's. But let's introduce the idea of thinking macro. So this comes naturally to you. So let's talk about the idea, first of all, of dreaming and thinking big, and why is that important, and in what areas are you dreaming and thinking?
Yeah. So I think it's important that we recognize that it's a good thing to dream big. It's a good thing to think macro.
Right.
And there's really two lenses you can look at it from. Like, you can look at it from a personal perspective for you to have big goals for yourself, like to have kind of high expectations, but also big dreams for yourself. It's actually a really good thing. And we want to encourage that. We really want to personally have big goals for ourselves. That's
there's nothing wrong with that, because there's this idea that you have to have that concept of self-care while you're trying to change things within the world. And if you don't have a safe space, you don't have big goals where you're constantly changing and evolving, it's real hard to pour into others.
That's exactly right. And I love the concept of no one ever drifted to where they wanted to be.
Yeah.
So it's a really good thing to actually have a vision and for it to be big impact. And that can look totally different depending on the person, right? So a big goal for somebody may be a small goal for someone else, and vice versa, right?
Right.
That's neither here nor there. It needs to be something it's thinking macro for you personally. So that's one lens. The second lens is thinking macro from a systems perspective.
Right.
And this is where I think it's really helpful for leaders, and the way it applies to business is it's basically seeing the forest and not just the tree, and not getting bogged down into the weeds, even though that's really easy. I know we're gonna talk about that and dive into that more. But that's to tee it up of what is thinking macro about. It's about, from a personal perspective, having big goals for yourself. It's about, from a leadership perspective and a business perspective, being able to think strategically, recognize kind of system-wide issues, problems, opportunities,
right,
and have that big picture thinking.
So how about, like, Gabby and Larry and Blake share too? Like, so when you talk about personal goals, do you like share maybe a personal goal that you've made that has been instrumental in your growth? Yeah, and I can share one too. But,
well, actually, talking about goals, I actually wrote down a list of my goals for 2021.
Get
if
it.
If you write it, you're so much more likely to actually do it.
Yeah.
So true.
And some of the things are small, you know, to be fair, but it's like if I didn't write it down, I wouldn't hold myself accountable.
Yes. Yeah.
So now it's on paper. So I have it on paper on my desk. So every time I sit at my desk, the list is there staring back at me.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So I'm very list you know, that's my jam is lists and checking things off. So just seeing an unchecked list is like punishment for me if I don't get the things done.
Well, and conversely, because, you know, the world is a hard place. And, you know, my dad used to always say that, you know, the world is going to kick everybody in the face, you know, and he was right. Like, and when you're 24 and idealistic, everything's good, you're in great health. It doesn't always happen, but eventually the world kicks you in the face. But if you have, like, if you're having trouble in business or in a big goal you've set for yourself, but you're achieving something, even something small that you're checking off your personal, those are the moments where you're like, okay, I can do this. Like, it's a reminder to yourself, I can achieve this. It's tough, but I did this and I didn't think I could do that.
Yeah, so. I think I just looked back on 2020 and where I started at the beginning of 2020, and I'm sure it was a big change for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But, like, weirdly, 2020 was a bad year and a really good year for me, too.
Yeah. Yep.
And I know a lot of people weren't as fortunate to have a good year.
Right.
But, you know, I just was amazed by the things that I accomplished or overcame with some big challenges in front of me. So I think that at the beginning of this year, I was like, well, now I'm in a way better spot. What do I want my life to look like?
Yes.
That's like a perfect right there. I mean, that's like a setup. Right
and
there.
I was going to say what you're getting at is this concept called gain over gap. And for me, I'm naturally wired that I'm future oriented. I'm always looking at, hey, where do I want to be?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And here I am now. And there's a big gap there. And what you're talking about is actually we need to orient ourselves more often, at least, and me especially, because the way I'm wired, to appreciate the gain over the gap.
That's exactly it.
And that gives you a momentum that you're like, hey, look how much I've grown. It actually gives you momentum to continue that growth.
Well, and people that, and you know, everybody has their tendencies, but if people tend to think macro, that's a hard concept to grasp, because they're like, well, yes, I'm helping this child, but I didn't help all these, you know, and the reality is, you know, if you're running, right? And I ran a half marathon, I'm a terrible runner. I'm not built to be a runner. It's awful. But I had to say, I'm terrible, but I ran this run, you know, this run 15 seconds a mile faster. So by focusing on those, I was able to achieve what I wanted, even though it didn't always look pretty. And sometimes it felt pretty rough, but Larry, do you have one to share?
Well, I'm glad Gabby brought up the fact about short-term goals, because I'm very good at that. I can create a list and boy, I want to get that list done. And so that's good. Big ones, I don't write down. I don't write down my whole year, but in the past I've had big goals. I built a radio station, you know, that's what I wanted to do. So I knew how to get her done.
Yeah.
But just things like that. But the short term, I'm very good at.
That's awesome. It's awesome. And then Blake, how about you? Do you have anything that you want to share?
Yeah. So I'm a big goal setter too. I get energized by setting the goal. And I will say, like a lot of people, I think people can get cynical about setting big goals. That's why I want to reinforce it. It's actually a really good thing to have big goals for yourself. Yep. Like people get cynical about New Year's resolutions. There's a reason for that. We'll get into that more when we talk about investing micro, because most people, I think it's 92% of people, don't actually follow through on them. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
But it's a great thing to have big goals. So I like doing them. One of mine, I'll just share now, I have a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal. My big, hairy, audacious goal is that over the next 5 years, I want to help equip 100,000 leaders.
Yeah, which is, when you think about that, it's beautiful and scary, but...
Exactly. It's audacious. It's hairy. Right. It's really hairy.
Yeah.
But also reflecting back on 2020, the traction that's been made in this past year has been phenomenal. And so it's something that motivates me. And I think there's an important... We could go into the weeds on this too, but I'll just say, I think that it's important to calibrate stretch and achievability. So you want something that stretches you and that like pushes you to have kind of the bigger impact you want to have, but you also want something that is realistic. So we'll see how realistic that is, but at least we're shooting for it.
Well, and I think that we'll discuss a lot more of this again in Think Micro, but you know, for me, running a marathon was a goal that I couldn't even visualize the reality.
Yeah.
And then that's where the micro came in, where I was said, but I can envision this. I think chunk, I can get a mile today. Yeah. And, you know, the old adage, how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time.
There it is.
There you go. So talk a little bit about the idea of freeing up capacities, because this is big for somebody who thinks macro is a big dreamer, wants to accomplish a lot. This is, I think, step like one or at least 1B, you know.
Because it's so easy to get caught in the details and in the weeds.
Yes.
And I'll also say that it's a good thing. Every leader needs to have, I'm liking this term, I just had it on my podcast, a guest, Dan Fronin, an executive at a company called Sendoso, shared this term with me, acceptable minimums.
Right.
You need to have a base level of attention to detail. Every leader needs to have that. It's a good thing. What happens too often, though, is that as leaders, we get sucked in to the weeds in a way that's not productive. Yeah. It's not productive for us. It's not productive for our team.
Yeah.
And thinking macro is about, in order to think macro, you have to be able to extract yourself from the weeds.
Right.
And it takes intentionality, because as we talked about when we were first exploring this topic, Rocky, sometimes it can feel comfortable.
Oh no, the weeds, right?
Tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, and so I think what you're talking about too is the first step here is you have to audit yourself, and you have to say, I need to get over the guilt. I can't do this and achieve this macro goal. I have to find somebody to give this to. And that feels weird, because it feels like, and for me, I want to be one of the people. Like, I just want to be one of the team.
Yeah.
And the team, they're running orders out every day and taking, you know, orders and making sandwiches and all that. And that feels so comfortable to me. And honestly, I want to be liked. I think we all kind of want to be liked. And when I'm doing that with them, they like me. They like me a lot. They respect me a lot. They understand what I'm doing. So that, like, to me, the weeds are kind of just where I naturally like to be.
Yep.
And so it's okay, I think, knowing that about myself, and I'm sure other people are that way too. I allow myself, and I literally say, hey, 4 hours a week at each store, I'm going to allow myself to be in the weeds.
That's great.
And I'm going to do whatever I want. And somebody who's a great business leader may come in and look at me and say, what an idiot. This guy's on fries. That's okay. But for me, it kind of reminds me of what they're doing. It reminds me of who I am and what I like. So you can embrace a little bit of it. But if I'm on fries or running orders every day.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, then I get nothing accomplished. And Larry, you remember way back when I would do that. That was my day.
I love that example, and it goes back to that mantra of working on your business, not in your business.
Yes, yes.
And I actually like that you carve out that time. That's why I love that you said that you actually do dedicate some time so that you can get in there on the front lines. That's healthy. Number one, it can be therapeutic sometimes when you're doing something that's just like using hands, right?
Yes, it is. Very therapeutic, yeah. Yes.
And number two, it actually builds camaraderie and morale with the team, which is so important. Number three, it keeps you close kind of to the processes. But if you aren't intentional there to make sure that you have boundaries and you can actually work on the business.
That's right.
The business doesn't advance, and it's not the best use of your time. So
yeah, because you want to maximize your value, and so there's this tension, and you know, tension is a beautiful thing, and it's okay to have tension. But if you had set a goal, I want to mentor 1,000 kids, but you never mentored anybody, anything you said would ring of untruth, right? Well, hey, this is how you mentor somebody, even though I've never done it, but I've read a book and I believe it's, you know, so it's okay to have mentored. It's okay. But then at some point you need to maximize your value. And if you really want to impact 1,000 kids, it's going to be real hard for you to mentor all 1,000. You're going to have to figure out those.
How do you create the systems? Yeah. How do you optimize? And that's what thinking macro is.
Yeah. And here's the thing, cool thing too. And this is, you know, honestly, just kind of how God works sometimes. But this morning I was reading about Moses, and he had a conversation with his father-in-law, and he was hearing every dispute of all the Israelites, everyone. And his father-in-law said, hey, that's not good. Like, you're not maximizing your leadership potential. Here's my advice. Find some men that are good and that are sound and think straight, and have them hear the small disputes, and they'll only bring the big ones to you.
Wow.
Now, I think Moses liked to be in the weeds a little bit. Like, he liked, you know, I'm satisfying all these people, helping them. And this happened, literally read this morning.
That is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. But it's so applicable, this topic.
Such a good example.
And so, like, most of the greatest leadership principles, like the idea of dividing my business into sections and handing them off to great men and women,
yep,
came from, and, you know, a command that is in the Bible. It is pretty amazing to me. So anyways.
A big takeaway there is that your business, your organization, whatever you're leading, will never reach its potential if you're in the weeds.
Yeah, you cap out your business.
That's right. And so unless you are thinking macro, you're going to be limited.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, it's amazing to me because it happens so often in businesses. And I think back to a year where I got tired of being average. And just tired of it. And so I began to search out people that weren't average in my industry and visiting them and understanding kind of how they structured their life. And it was 2009, and I went and spent 4 days with one of my, I consider him a good friend. I don't know if he considers me that way, but his name is Scott. And I was shocked at he thought macro. He just would not, he didn't want to hear the I can'ts. And 3 days with him, I came back and I said, I have capped my business. My business is as big as I have allowed it to get. And so I had to remove the shackles. Mm. And we went from that point, the next 4 years was our greatest growth. We went from 3 million to over 6.7 million
wow.
in 4 years. And it was because I said, I'm not going to listen to the naysayers. I'm going to think big.
That's amazing.
And I'm going to let go some.
That's amazing. Yeah. And there's a James Clear quote that I've been loving. He wrote Atomic Habits. If you guys have heard of that book, amazing book. But his line is, if you care about the goal, if you really do care about the goal, focus on the system.
That's right.
Focus on the system. So like for you to be able to, what was that, more than double?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a crazy growth. Yeah.
You couldn't have done that if you were just like in the day to day. You couldn't have done that. You had to focus on the big picture. You had to focus on the system that's going to be able to build and support that sort of growth.
So the one of the first things I had to do, right, after I, and this is our next topic, is, you know, some people call it white space or personal time. I know you're really big on that. For me, my first thing was I had to step aside, and that felt weird because the weeds felt good, you know, and I was comfortable, but I had to actually say, hey, I'm not going to be in today, and I'm carving out this time to dream and to think and to write down what was next. So talk about how you involve that or include that in your life.
Well, I love the way you teed it up because it does feel weird because it doesn't feel productive.
Yeah, it feels crazy.
You know? It doesn't feel productive, but the irony is, if you're doing it right, it's the highest value of your time.
That's sometimes. Right.
Like it can be where you get the ideas that spark that kind of growth, that right. where you get the energy really to come back in and lead at a totally different level.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, I love the term white space. It's really carving out time to think.
Right.
And if you don't build it into your schedule, it's usually not going to happen. So if you don't build it into your schedule, if you don't build it into your routine.
It's just like exercise or anything else. If you don't set aside this time, you're not going to do it.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because if you don't run your day will run you.
That's right. Yeah.
And so you don't prioritize your schedule. You schedule your priorities.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so one of your top priorities as a leader should be giving yourself time to think, giving yourself white space. And so whether that's once a month, and maybe you take like a half day once a month, or if that's in kind of more micro chunks, if that's once a week,
sure,
you kind of carve out an hour or two,
yeah.
as long as you can get in the zone.
Yes.
For me personally, I try to do this on a micro level every day
right.
with quiet time in the morning.
Right.
And I'm sure a lot of people can resonate with that, but using that time in the morning to get strategic and think macro about your goals that you're going out for that year or whatever your horizon is. And what does it look like for you that day?
Well, and I like that idea because I'm a big believer in monthly or whatever you schedule. Maybe you schedule a 3 or 4 hour chunk. And what I'm saying, you're away. And, you know, I think when we were talking just one-on-one, I'm a big believer in everybody is centered by something. So there are some people that if you put them in the middle of New York City, that energy and that the vibe and the, you know, they love that. They just energize. Some people it's the mountains or water or whatever. Whatever centers you, like find a spot or create a spot where this is my spot to think and dream big. I think it's super important.
Love that.
I think what you're saying, though, is even more important is that daily you're carving out a small section and what you're doing is recalibrating, hey, this is what's important. And it's a good reminder because, again, life can get tough and the fires that are raging you feel like you have to put out. But if you go in there and you remind yourself every day, hey, my top goal is to make stories better, then I'm going to take steps to do that every day. And if I don't, I have short-term memory. And I won't remember, and I'll make a decision that's not making anybody's story better. Mm. You know, those kind of things. And
you know what it reminds me of? And this is slightly different, but of course I'm going to bring up Hamilton.
have you watched? You have to watch
it. Too many times I've watched it. My wife is huge on it. I love it. Is Larry not a fan?
No, I'm making Larry and his girlfriend come and watch it with my wife and I.
Come on, Larry.
Yeah.
So Lin-Manuel Miranda was on vacation when the idea
struck him.
He was reading a book on vacation.
And I've read that book, and it's like a 900-page, very dry book.
I've seen that book, not read it.
And he had done some other things. I mean, like, he was successful.
Yeah, he had done In the Heights.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was an actor in some things. Yeah. I mean, he was successful in what he was doing, but nothing probably to where he could have fathomed the success of Hamilton.
No, I mean, at one point it was, I don't know if the stat is true, we'll fact check, but I understand that Hamilton at one point was producing $150 million a month profit in various ways.
Oh, I'm sure. I have no doubts in my mind. Profit. That crazy. Sounds low, honestly.
Crazy. Yeah, crazy, you know.
I mean, I personally bought tickets to the original cast, so I contributed to that.
we did too. I did not for me, but for my daughter and my wife, which shows how much I love them, you know, so.
But, I mean, it's crazy to think that he was on vacation and he was reading and he had that downtime to dream up this big idea. And, you know, suddenly he was rapping at the White House and everybody was like, who is this weird, crazy guy?
Yeah.
And he had the idea, the big macro idea in his head of what this was going to be.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the outcome was
hard work of.
Yes.
You know, but
and to your point, it may not have been possible if he hadn't given himself that white space, right?
For sure. And I think, honestly, if I remember that story, wasn't he like on vacation at the beach?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm telling you, this book, it's by Chemwith, I believe, is the author. It's good book.
Ron Chernow?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I love history. I'm a big nerd. It's a dry book. And it's a 900-page book.
Yeah.
I have that book.
Yeah. When I read that book, I did not see Hamilton the musical. But he did, you know. But I think he was where he was in white space, a place that maybe centers him, a place he gets energy from, and he dreamed huge. So, Lynn, we'd like you to be in our show.
Well, I've got one because I'm following up on that because my time is I play solitaire on my phone.
It's
the biggest game of, you know, that's all I play. But it gives me a lot of time to think.
I didn't know that you did that, Larry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got to have a
distraction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it gives me a good time to start thinking. And then a good quiet time in the morning does help as well. But when I need to get away, some of the biggest ideas I've ever had.
Okay. So
due to solitaire.
I hope everybody's getting, I mean, we're getting excited talking about the times and the people that have thought macro. So we obviously feel like this is a big deal. And we've talked about the idea of dreaming and thinking big, the idea of freeing up your capacities. We've talked about white space and personal times. Now, the next step would be, Blake, now you've got to cast this vision because a macro goal that is only you, it's not going to be accomplished. So how do you cast the vision?
That's, yeah, so true. So I think a great purpose, mission, vision is one that it compels you to take action, right? So it's actually something that makes you take action because it's so compelling. And it's something that inspires the people around you.
That's right.
People are drawn to it. People are attracted by it. And other people are actually motivated to action because of it too. And so that, like, thinking macro will never have the impact you want it to have if you can't cast vision, communicate, articulate
right
to people around you why this is important. So as leaders,
yes,
that's a prerequisite, is being right able to cast vision that is actually compelling to the people around you.
See, and that's an important piece, because you talk about, first of all, you have to be grounded and rooted. It has to speak to you and excite you and be a reason you get up in the morning. Mm. But then your original vision, it may have to change in order to be impressive, and because it has to make everybody. It
has to resonate.
That's right.
And you have a good story on that, I know, with Chick-fil-A.
Well, I had this, I came up with this great mission statement, and I had heard about the idea of integrity, and I had this great analogy of a banana and a watermelon, and, you know, the fact that when you go into a grocery store, you're not buying a banana, you're buying a banana peel, right? And you're looking for the outer appearance. And when you shop for a watermelon, even more importantly, you check to know if a watermelon is good by knocking on it. And if it sounds empty, it's good. Now, think about that concept. So what we're really saying is, because I know that God has integrity and the things that he creates, if I see the peel, the outside looking good, I know the inside will be what I want. And if I knock on this and it sounds empty, I know it's going to be good. So I got motivated. And so my first vision was to be a place of it was long. It was eloquent and beautiful. Be this place of integrity. And I would grab a chicken sandwich and say, you're buying a bag. And when they open the bag, inside is what they're really buying. You know, it was wonderful. It moved me to tears. My team looked at it like, what are you, an idiot? Like, it didn't resonate. And so I tried to push my mission vision for a year, probably not a year, but for many months, until finally somebody said, hey, can we just make stories better? And I was like, oh my gosh, that's it. And that became our vision. I got up. It compels me. It compelled them. So you're right. Like, you've got to be grounded, and then you've got to find how this, you know, what form motivates my team.
We've got a pure example of this right here in front of us in this microphone.
All right.
I had a vision.
Okay.
If you remember, I came to you in church one day.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And you said, what have you been doing? I'm saying, doing podcasts.
Yeah.
And you said, I would like to do a podcast. And so here we are. How many episodes later?
Oh, 300 maybe.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, 3 years.
Yeah.
So kind of crazy.
That's a vision, and it went forth, and here we are, a service journey. So
amazing.
All right. So the last thing, because as always, I think we like to, you know, run long because we like to talk to each other. So the last part we're going to cover in this show, and then again, remember, please, to go to Leadership on Purpose and listen to the other, which is the micro part. But we're going to talk about you know, just in general, kind of like why these practical, like what are the takeaways from thinking macro? And I think we could talk for several hours and several episodes on this, but I think we've hit a lot of the main points.
Yes.
So could you kind of like...
I'll summarize.
Yeah.
So we'll try to make this as actionable as possible.
Right.
The first is to remember that it's really actually a good thing to think big. So be encouraged by that. If you already like goal planning, great. If you're not as big on it, stretch yourself there. Think big. Have some big goals for yourself, and it can be personal to you. It doesn't have to be big to somebody else. It's just whatever kind of helps you and is big for you. And
well, and don't be ashamed. Like, don't, you shouldn't be, if you feel like you've been inspired to a macro goal that doesn't make sense, if you feel like that's the inspiration, trust that God or the universe or whatever whispered it to you and make that goal.
Good word. I love that. The second thing is to, it's a really practical thing, audit yourself.
Yeah.
You can even look back on your schedule and say, hey, this past week, these past couple of weeks, what have I been doing with my time? Where has it been going? Have I been in the weeds for 80%+ of the week, 90%+ of the week? Or have I been actually, have I allowed myself time and the ability to actually think macro and to get strategic and to start bringing to life some of these big goals that I have.
Right. And as Gabby said too, if you start the year at 90% in the weeds, you're not going to tomorrow be at 5. So set those small goals that you can check off and understand, hey, I'm not perfect, but I'm getting better, you know.
And an easy way, another practical takeaway is that white space.
Yeah.
Schedule some time. So schedule your priorities. Make one of your priorities be time to think and get strategic, get big picture. And then finally, casting that vision and rooting yourself in your purpose. One small thing I like to do with that quiet time in the morning, pray, read some Bible. And I like to actually ground myself in my purpose again, because again, that's what motivates me. So when you have something that like you're reminding yourself, hey, this is what I'm about. This right. is what I'm trying to achieve and trying to promote in this world, how I'm trying to redeem the world in my own way, that motivates you. So give yourself that time, root yourself, and then work on practice articulating that, casting yeah. vision that yeah. actually gets other people excited. And that's the best way to be able to actually have macro impact.
And if you're not excited by a goal you set, it's the wrong goal. Mm-hmm. Like to me, you know, I mentioned the marathon. I was scared to death. But I was passionate. Like it did motivate me, partly through fear. but you know, it was something. But if you have made a goal and you're like, eh, I don't know that it's the right goal. Like a great goal should scare you and excite you almost in equal measures. So
love that.
Yeah. And then as Gabby, I loved your thought of writing it down and sometimes on your desk, in your car, if you drive a lot, you know, in your office, at work, you know, you want it to be front and center. You want to remember.
Yeah. I mean, my list is more like, it's like a combination of things for yeah. my big goal is this is the life I want to have, I guess.
Right. Which I love. Big, no, I love
my
that.
Big dream.
Yeah.
But it's made of small things, like silly things almost. Like one of them's like train my dogs well enough to walk on a leash properly and be able to take them to a restaurant.
That's a huge goal.
You know, like, yeah. like just like small things where I'm like, okay, what do I want my life to be? Like I don't want to be bothering with my dogs on a leash. I want them to behave and be trained properly and walk on the leash. So yeah,
but see, that's a beautiful
if I don't
thing.
Write it down,
yeah,
that's I'm not going to do anything about it.
That's a beautiful thing. I remember way back, this is before really computers. Larry, you remember these days. These guys won't, but Trish and I actually cut pictures out of a magazine and pasted them in this book of what we wanted. And like we did like the smallest, like the type of furniture, the house,
a vision
kids.
Board.
Yeah. Well, we didn't know enough to call it that, but it was weird because we wrote all this down and then kind of like, it was there still in our mind, but kind of forgot a little bit about it. And then like 4 years later, we found it and like almost all of it
wow.
had come to pass. And it mm-hmm. was, I think there's a power in
writing it down,
yeah, writing it down. And
there's science behind this. So yeah. Don't ask me why I know this, but I geek out on this kind of stuff. But you're 42% more likely to achieve a goal
yeah.
when you write it down. There's something like psychologically powerful about like, I think it's first getting the clarity of yeah. what you want, to
yeah.
be honest.
Yeah.
And then second, like just kind of committing it to yourself yeah. or something powerful about that. And then I don't know what the percentage is, but your chances of achieving it go up even more when you share it.
Yeah. If you post it on social media, mm-hmm. which is what I did for my race, I said, hey, I signed up for this. It's 8 months from now.
You got to be there.
Yeah. And then it was like the fear of failure. It will. I mean, like, you know,
motivate.
Hey,
it can motivate.
Yeah, it can motivate.
When you have accountability, that's right. you have accountability, but you also have encouragement, right?
Yes.
And so
yes.
when you have people that, if you're sharing it, you don't have to share it with the world, but if you're sharing it with someone or a couple of people that are in it for you, it gives you accountability, but it also gives you somebody that they want to see you succeed too. So it gives you extra energy and motivation.
Wow.
All right.
We're talking think micro today. What are we talking about?
Think macro.
Macro.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, Larry, it took me a while to get that down too. Trust
yes,
me.
Macro.
So the next episode.
What are we talking about next week?
And the next episode, we're going to be on Blake's show, Leadership on Purpose. And it's going to be all about, okay, you've got these macro, these amazing goals that invigorate and excite you. How do you, you know, invest micro in order to make these things become a reality? So
that's it.
Anybody have anything? I feel like this has been a good show, but it's weird to end it this way.
Well, we do have a sponsor.
Oh, we do.
Thanks to ACS Creative for developing our website, aservicejourney.com. So when it comes to creating a website, it pays to go to the pros. That's why we went to ACS Creative. They do brochures, logos, direct mail, ad campaigns, and websites. They don't play games with your money. Contact ACS Creative on the internet at acscreative.com.
So until next week, I am your ever faithful companion, Larry.
And I am Rocky DeStefano.
Gary.
Gary in the corner.
And in the corner
Nobody
we have.
Nobody puts Gary in the corner.
And the guest for today, Blake.
Blake.
And Ozarth.
You got it. I was gonna leave it for you.
Anyways, please, if you guys can, we would love for you guys to join us on this journey. Each and every week, we think it matters how you lead, and we want you to be somebody worth following. Check out a Leadership on Purpose podcast, and Blake, we will see you again next week.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.